Shalom uvracha to all. My name is Micha Hart, and today we'll be studying Melachim Aleph, Perek Zayin. Okay, Perek Zayin is a very long perek and a very complex perek. It is 51 psukim long, and it details two main ideas. Perek Zayin, psukim Aleph through Yod Bet, are the building of King Shlomo's personal palace complex. It's not just a palace, it's a complex. And then Psukim Yud Gimel through Nun Aleph deal with details about the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. This is a very intricate parak full of design, materials, dimensions, rooms, structures, kelim, etc. Okay, Shlomo begins with the Perek begins with his own palace. And the Pasuk tells us, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Ve'es Beiso Bana Shlomo, Shlosh Esrei Shana, as for his house, i.e. his royal palace, it took Shlomo 13 years to complete, Vayechal Esko Beiso, and he completed his entire house. Okay, now, this was a very great palace. It was a multi-building royal compound. It was designed for governance, because Shlomo, of course, was the king. He was the head of the government, ceremony, and also royal life. Now, in the palace, there is something called Vayiven et Beit Ya'ar Halvonan. He built something called the House of the Forest of the Lebanon. This was a massive hallway. It was supported by rows of cedar pillars, giving it a forest-like appearance. Something like this Ya'ar, Beit Ya'ar Halavonan, would have been used for royal gatherings, storage of weapons, displays of power. The Steinsaltz Nevi'im notes, King Solomon's palace might have been called by this name the House of the Forest of the Lebanon due to the abundance of wood used in its construction. It has been suggested this house was designed to give the ambience of a forest. The cedar pillars were arranged like real trees. They were attached to the beams. The windows reflected these tree-like pillars, creating the illusion of a never-ending forest. Not only did he have this massive hallway, there was also the Hall of Pillars. It was a grand entrance structure. Perhaps it's like a reception or transition space. You have to enter through the entrance to get to the main part of the king of the palace, if you will. There was the Hall of the Throne, which was the Hall of Judgment, where King Shlomo sat in judgment. Pasuk Zayin, Ve'ulam Hakise Asher Yishba Sham Ulam Hamishpat Asa. In addition to the entrance hall that we just spoke about, he made the Hall of the Throne, where he is king, would judge the people, which was Ulam Hamishpat, the Hall of Judgment. The Safun Ba'erez Mea Karka Ada Karka. It was covered entirely with cedar from one side of the floor to the other side of the floor. Not only that, but he also had a private entrance. Pasuches Ubeito Asher Yeshev Sham Chatzer HaAchera Mibeit Le'ulam Kemasa Zahaya. His private house where he would live was built in another courtyard within the hallway. The same construction as the rest of the palace. Not only that, still in Pasuk Ches, Ubaya Yaseh Leba Paro Asher Lakach Shlomo Kulam Azeh. Not only did he have a private residence with the same craftsmanship and materials as the palace, but there was also a special house we just read for Paro's daughter. His wife receives her own royal residence of very high quality. Steinsaltz Nevi'im notes, although she was not his first wife, Solomon's marriage to Paro's daughter was politically significant. Therefore, he designed a separate glorious structure especially for her. We are told that all of these buildings, all of these structures are made, Pasuk Tes tells us, Kol Ela Avanim Yakaros. These were all made with very heavy and very precious stones. They were hewn stones, unlike by the Beit HaMikdash. Here they were hewn stones. They were very heavy, large stones for the foundation, like Pasuk Yud, Umiyusad, Avanim Yakarot, Avanim Gedolot. The whole foundation was very precious stones, very, very large stones. There was also not only hewn stone, there was cedar wood, a lot of cedar wood. There was windows, there were doorposts, there was frames. We said there was an entrance hall, a private residence, a special house for Paro's daughter, and there was a great courtyard, a all around. The entire palace complex represents wealth, first of all, stability, organization, and royal authority. So we have to understand that this is not just a luxurious palace. It is a physical expression of King Solomon's power, an orderly kingdom he wants to demonstrate to his subjects and to the kingdoms all around of justice and governance. And after we speak about his palace, or I should say the Pesukim speak of his palace, the next part of the chapter, beginning in Pasuk Yud Gimel through Pasuk Nun Aleph, the parak now shifts back to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, focusing on the vessels and external features that King Shlomo builds. Now, who is the master craftsman? Parak Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo Vayikach Es Chiram Mitzar. King Shlomo sent, and he took Chiram from Tyre. Very important. This is not the same King Hiram of Tyre. Remember that we learned about in Pasuk Hey, where Shlomo got the wood from. This is an artisan of the same name. Where is he from? Pasuk Yudalad. Ben Isha Almana, who Mimata Naphtali. Ah, he was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. Va'aviv Ish Tzori. His father was a man from Tyre who lived in the city of Tyre. Choresh Nechoshes. His father was a bronze smith. Va'yamale Esha Chachma, Va'esha Tavuna, Va'esha Da. Chiram was filled with chachma, wisdom, tavuna, understanding, da'as, knowledge, to perform all craftsmanship, especially to work with nechoshes, with bronze. He came to King Solomon and he did all of the work. Chiram was the head craftsman, if you will, who fashioned the most complex forms. Now, the Steindl's Nevi'im points out, elsewhere it states, Chiram's mother was from the tribe of Dan, but the Pasuk has just told us it was from the tribe of Naphtali. One resolution is that Hiram's father was from the tribe of Naphtali, although he lived in Sur. That's according to the Radak. And therefore, since his father was from Naphtali and his mother was from Dan, even though the father lived in Tyre, that's why it says, Vayikach es Chiram Mitzar. Now, what I want to talk about now, as it's extremely, extremely interesting that this master craftsman of the Beit HaMikdash had three levels of wisdom. Vayimale et ha-chachma, ve-et ha-tavuna, ve-et ha-dah. These are three types of wisdom. He was filled with chachma, tavuna, and das. This is extremely reminiscent of the master craftsman of the Mishkan. Of course, this is not an accident. Nothing in Tanakh is an accident. If we go back to Parsha Kitisa in the book of Sefer Shmot, Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim Aleph through Gimel. Listen to this even more. Psukim Aleph through Dalet, or even Hey, but I'm not going to do all the Psukim just because we can't because of time. But Perek Lamed Aleph, Psuk Aleph in the book of Shmot. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. We're talking about the construction of the Mishkan. Who is going to build the Mishkan? Hashem says to Moshe, saying, Re'ei, Karasi B'Shem, see, I have designated, I have called by name, Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur, Lamata Yehuda, Bitzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur. Chur, of course, is the son of Miriam from the tribe of Yehuda. Va'amaleo Saruach Elokim, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, Bechachma, Ubitavuna, Ubida'as. I filled him with the Spirit of God. He is endowed with wisdom. He is endowed with understanding. He is endowed with knowledge. Chachma, tavuna, and das. Incredible. What is Hiram, the master craftsman, the overseer of the entire project of the Beit HaMikdash? Vayimale et ha-chachma, et ha-tavuna, et ha-dat. The exact same levels of wisdom that Bitzal ben Uri ben Hur, the master craftsman of the Mishkan, was endowed with. Hiram was endowed with. Rashi tells us, two paraglamet of Pasuk Gimel in the book of Shmot, Bechachma. What is Chachma? So we have three levels of wisdom here, and that's what's necessary for the construction, clearly, of the finite abode where God will dwell in this world. Both Bitzala and Chiram had it for the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, respectively. Chachma, Rashi says, Masha Adam Shomea Me'achirim V'Lamein. Chachma is what a man hears from others. In other words, that means you have no prior knowledge. You have no way to infer that on your own. Chachma means you hear something from somebody else and you learn it, new information. What is Tavuna, says Rashi? Mevin Davar Melibo Mitoch Dvarim Shalamad. Oh, this is really intuition. You understand something in your heart from something you already learned. So somebody teaches you something, and now you use that information to apply to a different situation. Mevin davar meliba, you understand something from your own heart. Mitoch dvarim shalamad, for something you have previously learned. And finally, what is da'as? Ruach HaKodesh. Divine inspiration. The Shechina rests upon this person, and he attains knowledge. Fascinating. So in order to construct the home of God, the Mishkan in the desert, and ultimately it stood at Shiloh for 369 years, yes, and the Beit HaMikdash. These are the levels of wisdom that was required, and it teaches us something. The Pasuk tells us in Shemos 25:8, Basuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. If we want the Shekhinah to dwell amongst us, we must all construct a Mikdash Ma'at in our home, in our own personality, the lives that we live. We must daven, we daven every day. The first Bakasha of the Shemona Esrei, the first Bakasha. We begin with three brachos of Shavach, and then we move into the Bakasha, and we begin with three blessings of Shavach. Then we move into the Bakasha. The first one is for wisdom, Chachma, Bina, and Das, or Chachma, Dea, and Secha, if you daven Sfarta, Ashkenaz, Balamaisa. This is what we daven for. And we have to realize in the homes that we live in, and the lives that we construct, and the personalities of ourselves that we strive to build, we too want the Shekhinah to dwell within us. So we also have to utilize these levels of wisdom to make wise choices, to frame our wisdom through the wisdom of Torah, so we can bring the Shekhinah down into our world. What was constructed, this master craftsman Hiram? First of all, there were two massive pillars at the entrance to the Mishkan, two massive copper pillars. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayetzar Eshnei Ha'amudim Nechoshan. He constructed, Pasuk Tezvav, he constructed these two bronze pillars. How tall were they? Shmona Esrei Ama Komer Amuda Echad, V'chut Shteim Esrei Ama Yishav Et Amuda Sheni. 18 cubits, 18 amud, was the height of one pillar, and a 12 cubit string would circle the second pillar. The circumference of each pillar was 12 cubits, and its diameter was roughly 4 cubits. He made two capitals, like on top, like a cap, if you will, on top of the pillars of cast bronze to place on top of the pillars. 5 cubits was the height of one capital. 5 cubits, the height of the second capital. Not only that, there was chain work or decoration around the tops of the capitals, around the tops of the pillar. 7 chain work, if you will, for one capital, 7 for the second capital. They were chain works. They were nets and wreaths that decorated the top, the capitals of the pillar. Not only that, Pasuk Gidches, he made with the pillars two rows of pomegranates all around on each screen, which covered the capitals that were atop the pillars for each one. It's amazing. Furthermore, there was decoration of lily work atop. Now, these pillars were so massive and so grand, they actually had names. Pasuk Aleph tells us their names. And he established or erected the pillars for the entrance to the hall of the sanctuary. The right pillar was called Yachin, which means he will prepare. Vayakam et hamud hasmali, and he established or erected the left pillar at the entrance to the sanctuary. Vayikret shmo Boaz, and he called the name of the left pillar Boaz. That's how massive they were. These pillars were actually given names. They are symbolic. They represent stability. They represent strength. They represent the divine establishment of the kingdom and the Beit HaMikdash. I want to come back and talk about these pillars. So let's just finish talking about some of the other things that we're told Shlomo constructed. He constructed something called a yam, yud mem, yeah, like a sea. Exactly right. A huge container made of copper that was called yam. It held very large quantities of water, and it stood on 12 oxen facing in all four directions. So you had three oxen on the north, on the east, on the south, on the west, and the north. And this massive yam, which held large quantities of water, stood on 12 oxen. The Kohanim, of course, needed water for washing. This represents great abundance and also order. Water is something that if it's not contained, it will flow all over. We are showing containment. We're showing power. We're showing precision in King Shlomo's building, if you will, of the Beit HaMikdash. Not only that, there were also kiorot. I just quoted Parshas Ki Tisa. On Parshas Ki Tisa, we're told about the kior that was constructed for the Mishkan. The kior that Shlomo had was 10 kiorot, 10 smaller water basins. They were actually on wheeled bases, like wheeled trolleys. The Pesukim tell us a very intricate design. These were also used for washing carbon-related items. Furthermore, the importance we know from Sefer Shemo of the importance of the Kohanim washing their hands and feet before the Avodah. He had, furthermore, 10 menorah, not one menorah like in the Mishkan, 10. They were placed in the Heichal, the main sanctuary. Now, we should know that the original menorah made by Moshe Rabbeinu remained in the Beit HaMikdash. So there was the original golden menorah made by Moshe, plus 10 additional menorah made by King Shlomo. This once again expresses abundance, wealth, expansion, more divine blessing. Also Torah and wisdom and divine light, which is really what the menorah symbolized. And having the main one from Moshe Rabbeinu and the 10 others that he constructed, it indicates amplifying the light of Torah, amplifying the light of wisdom. We know that Shlomo is the wisest person who ever lived. Amplifying really the light of one, his kingdom, and two, the abode where God, Kaviyachol, dwells. There are also additional kelim he made. The Pesukim tells he made pots, he made shovels, basins, various copper vessels. The Pasuk tells us there was so much copper used, they couldn't even weigh it. And the last Pasuk of the Perek tells us, Pasuk Nun Aleph, very long, Vatishlam kol hamalacha asher asa me'ach Shlomo Beit Hashem, and all the work that King Shlomo did for the house of God was finished. Vayave Shlomo et kodshei David aviv et hakesav et hazav et hakelim natan ba'otzo beit Hashem. Not only was all his work finished, but he brought certain items, holy items from David his father, silver, gold, vayave Shlomo et kodshei David aviv, silver and gold and all the vessels, and he put them into the treasury of the house of Hashem. Steinzelt's Nevi'im notes that the treasury contained all the excess silver and gold that King David prepared for the construction of the temple. Since these materials were consecrated, they become part of the national treasury, and from time to time, in the hour of need, the kings of Yehuda would use these treasures. Just amazing. I want to talk about, first of all, there's something very, very interesting to point out. I already told you one parak, one of the greatest challenges for me, of Nachiomi, besides for preparing the prophet, is teaching them in a short amount of time. Okay, whew, Hashem help me. First of all, what's fascinating is that this parak combines the palace of Shlomo, which represents order, power, justice, the hall where he judged, his personal living space. So on the one hand, the parak tells us about Malchut, Shlomo HaMelech's strong kingship represented in the strength of his palace. On the other hand, we're told about the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which represents, of course, Hasharat HaShechina, where God's going to dwell, precision and beauty. What is the parak really telling us? What does Shlomo understand? That a kingdom, palace, without Hashem, Beit HaMikdash, will lead to corruption and power, like history has shown us too many times. On the other hand, Beit HaMikdash without a palace, spirituality without structure, cannot function in this world. We are guf im neshama. We cannot function with just one dimension. We need physical and spiritual. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin in Sefer Bereishis, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam Afar Min Adama, Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishma Chaim, Vayadom Nefesh Chaya, God Elokim fashioned man. He made him dust from the earth on the one hand, but he made him a soul of life, Chelak Elokai Mimal on the other hand, and then man became a living spirit. And that's really what this parak is showing us. King Shlomo understands that if we live in this world, we need to utilize physical matter in this world in order to serve Hashem and to be a housing for the Shechina and a housing for our own neshama. So while it's very big and grand and beautiful, he understands that this is all for the purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very, very important for us to understand that. I really wanted to talk about the two pillars, but we are out of time, so I'm just going to try and say it in one sentence, okay? Yachin means he will prepare. Rav Soloveitchik, in two different pieces, probably more, speaks about the importance of preparation. He says, the essence of Shabbos, says the Rav, is the importance of preparation. I'm quoting one sentence from the Rav. Proper preparation is a necessary condition for any encounter with holiness. That is a quote. Chumash Masoros HaRav Sefer Shmos. Proper preparation is a necessary condition for any encounter with holiness. Furthermore, the Rav says, holiness means preparation. That is from a different source in Chumash Masoros HaRav Shmos. So I think that one of the reasons the pillar in the front, one of the pillars was named Yachin, is Shlomo HaMelech is sending us a message. This is a place of holiness. It is the Beit HaMikdash. When you are coming here, you have to prepare. You have to make sure you're not tameh. You have to make sure you have a kosher korban. You have to make sure you went to the mikvah first. Prepare. You have to make sure you're mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, physically prepared. That's a message for us in our lives. An encounter with holiness requires preparation. And the other name of the other pillar was called Bo, us, which means strength, when we prepare properly for the mitzvah, when we are ready in mind, in body, in spirit, in heart, in machshava, in maisa, in deeper to serve a kosh baruch Hu, ultimately you will be able to draw great strength, boaz, from this place of preparation. Okay, thank you so much everyone for learning with me. I wish everybody a wonderful day. I look forward to continuing tomorrow. Kol tov, thank you to all.
our learning is dedicated anonymously as a schus for our Torah leaders across the world. May Hashem grant them the koach and wisdom to lead Klal Yisrael and bring us closer to Hashem and the coming of Mashiach b'mehira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you so much for learning with me. I look forward to continuing tomorrow, Bezor Hashem.